This description right now is trying to push the show on us. It's trying to make us want to want it. What we actually want to do is create that desire naturally. We want to open up a curiosity gap where the listener feels compelled. We're not telling them, you need to listen to this. People, when they feel pushed into anything, they automatically resist. And so what we need to do is be a little bit coy, drop some breadcrumbs out here and let them follow the trail down. Welcome to another podcast roast where in every episode we dissect a listener show's packaging, so their cover art, their title, episode titles, and description, to identify some of the places that you can improve your own show packaging to improve your listener acquisition and show discovery. So today on The Skewer, we have Open to Criticism by our listener Wendy Lloyd. And Justin, I'm going to not give you any more context and turn it over to you and walk us through your first impressions as you pull up the show in Apple Podcasts.
Well, I'm glad they're open to criticism. This is the right show for them. They've come to the right place if they are open to critique. Okay, I got it open on Apple Podcasts. We got a lot of orange because the podcast cover art has a lot of orange on it. From the cover art, this feels like a film. It's related to films. Oh, and then it has a subline, because talk about movies matters. So this is something to do with film critique. Yeah, I like the cover art. It's got, maybe it has a little too many elements on it. Like, I wonder if it would be better if those speech bubbles, there's a few speech bubbles on there. I wonder if removing some elements might be, improve it a little bit. Overall, it feels pretty strong to me. And I did get a sense right away of what this show was about and a little bit of a sense of who it's for, just from looking at the cover art. What are your thoughts looking there on the web?
Yeah, so Lana Orange definitely stands out, I think, which is good. I don't know about the color combination is one of the things that jumps out at me. Mm-hmm. Now, I am a very amateur designer, and specifically within my level of design skill, color combinations has always been the thing that has confounded me. And so I have recently, actually, shout out to my friend Nate Cadillac, who he offers a bunch of like courses and a great newsletter specifically for non-designers to get better at design. And he has actually helped me learn some ways to actually pair colors better. He's got a great blog post on it, so people can go check that out. I think it's approachabledesign.com might be his website, something like that. So that has been a lifeline to me that I have been relying on very regularly when it comes to color combos. But something to me here, so I'll just kind of talk through the cover art. So we've got an orange background. There's some kind of like background texture almost to some extent, some waves or things like that. So there's like some depth to the cover art. And then there, the big elements here, there's a kind of face in profile, and this is just like an illustration on both the left-hand side and the right-hand side. So they're facing each other in profile. How would you describe these? Kind of just like clip art faces almost, or something like that, where they're illustrations. Silhouette, yeah. And so we've got, those are the big dominant elements. One is kind of purpley and the other one is blue. And then we've got, I think, a different shade of blue is the word criticism. So we've got open to criticism is kind of in the center. And then on top of the title, so we've got open to criticism, open to is in the purple, kind of reddish color, and criticism is in a similar blue to the other face, but not the exact one. Then beneath that in small text, it says, because talk about movies matters. And then on top of that, we've got each face has a kind of different size speech bubble. One's got a bunch of exclamation points in it. The other's got a bunch of kind of scribbles. And then we've got this kind of icon of a, almost like a YouTube play button that has legs of like a camera, a film camera, and then the lens on it as well. So that's kind of what the cover art looks like. And like you mentioned, I think there's a lot of elements. And the first thing that jumps to mind is that the sizing feels a little bit all over the place. And so one of the speech bubbles is much smaller than the other one. And that might be intentional because that person maybe isn't talking or whatever's going on here. But the other thing is that there's just like a lot of different sizes. Spacing's a little bit awkward. My eye doesn't know where to focus here. And I think that that's one of the things that I'm seeing here. And so I like the concept behind the cover art. I think it's a really good concept. I think if, I don't know who designed this, if it was Wendy or if it was a designer, I think that a very skilled designer could take this and make it feel really intuitive and more evocative. Right now, it feels a little maybe on the nose for me. So I like it in that it's clear. I think there's a good concept behind it. And then some of the color choices, things like that, it just feels like a little busy for my sense. So I think there's some good things and there's some things that could be improved. But that's my take on it. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
No, I think it's good. I mean, ultimately, the cover art is doing a job for your show. And so what you want is to ask the question, is it doing the job? Is it bringing people in? Is it helping them understand the show? Is it attracting people to the show? Or is it maybe repulsing people from the show? So the show owner, the person producing the show, they have to decide if it's doing those. Ultimately, it's up to them. Is it doing all those jobs? And I think it could be tightened up and improved, but there's at least some elements in there that I think are probably working. And not a bad start.
All right, so let's move on to the maybe combination of title and description. You want to walk us through what you're seeing here?
Yeah. All right, so the title is just open to criticism, and then the author byline is Wendy Lloyd, and then in Apple Podcasts, here's what I can read. If you ever watch films or read film reviews, this Independent Podcast Awards twice nominated show is for you. Because, and then it's cut off. It's truncated right there. I'll keep going. Oh, wow. Because what you get to see on screen is directly impacted by what critics value and promote. Film critic Wendy Lloyd investigates how we talk about movies, who gets to do it, and why it matters with fellow critics and social commentators. And then it keeps going. I'm trying to see if there's... Yeah, there's a lot here. So how might film criticism understand its own role in all these inequalities and better serve all film fans? I'm just scanning it to see if what else kind of jumps out at me. My thought is that she could definitely bring some of those lines or some of those elements up. So it's the first line. That first sentence is a mouthful. If you ever watch films or read film reviews, this Independent Podcast Awards twice nominated show is for you. It's just too much. I would probably remove that line, and I would probably kind of go down further and say something like an investigation about how we talk about movies, who gets to do it, and why it matters with fellow critics and social commentators. Something like that. That's my first pass at it. What are some of your thoughts as I was reading that out?
Yeah, that's my thought as well. It feels like this first line, I think, will probably lose almost everyone. If you ever watch films or read film reviews, that sentence alone tells us that this is not targeted to anyone in particular, because that's basically everyone. Almost everyone watches films. And I don't know if this use of film is different from like movie, if there's any distinction there. And that's a more specific niche of people who are more in the like artistic film world. I assume that this is more about film and movies as a whole. But I think if you read that first bit, to me, that's like, oh, this isn't specific to anyone. This is just trying to appeal to everyone, where it's not spiky and pointy enough to break through my kind of awareness if I'm just coming across this somewhere and being like, oh, this is something really interesting that has a unique take, which is a little bit unfortunate because when you keep reading, she clearly does have a unique take and there's that a mission to this.
Yeah, that was my point, is like now that I've been kind of like soaking in this whole thing, I'm seeing, like, Wendy has a point of view. She's saying, like, Me Too, BLM, and Time's Up means we're finally seeing improved diversity in film, from the stories being told to on-screen representation. So there's a point of view here. Like,
yes.
We're going to talk about films from this perspective, and the significant power imbalances remain. So there's elements of this that feel like a blog post. And it just needs to get really tightened up, distilled to its most important elements. And what the description is doing a job for you, which is to say, to convince me as a potential listener, why should I listen to the show in as few words as possible? So however many words that takes to distill the essence, the point of view, the hook of the show, that's what you want. And yeah, it feels like it could be really tightened up.
Yeah, my first thought in reading through this of how I might start to craft an opening, it almost feels more of a, and maybe this is, so I've kind of taken a quick scan through the episode titles. It seems like an interview show, but I think you could take some inspiration from more of an investigative journalism type show with crafting the hook of the description, where the line that comes to mind is something like, I don't know what the ending is, but it's like, have you ever wondered how whatever movie ended up on the front page of this, the New York Times film page, or something like that, where it's like, now there's a question that I'm like, huh. And if I have any awareness of the art world, and so, you know, just being in online business and marketing, I know that the New York Times bestseller list can certainly be gamed and is not a legitimate source of like, oh, that book actually is the most popular or the best or sold the most copies. And so if I heard something like that, I'm like, oh, this is going on with the movies too. Of course it is. But how is it decided? What's the mystery here? Now I want to start unraveling that. And so one of the things that actually, as I'm reading through this again, this is something I see a lot in copy, is this description right now is trying to push the show on us to some extent. It's trying to make us want it, where what we actually want to do is create that desire naturally. We want to open up a curiosity gap where the listener feels compelled. We're not telling them, you need to listen to this. If you're this, you must listen to this. Like, people, when they feel pushed into anything, they automatically resist. And so it's like every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And this is true. Whenever we try to push something on somebody in our marketing or our promotion, people will actively resist us. And so what we need to do is be a little bit coy and drop some breadcrumbs out here and some things that they might be interested in and let them follow the trail down. And so I think actually opening with a question and hinting that, hey, there's something dastardly behind the scenes going on here. There's actually a kind of archetype that you can lean into that. That's how I would open this up, that gets somebody to be like, oh, there's something is afoot and I want to get to the bottom of what it is.
This is actually a good use case for ChatGPT. I know ChatGPT gets a bad rap sometimes, and you know, sometimes it's actually not that helpful. But in this case, I just plugged Wendy's description in and said, improve this podcast description, tighten it up, give it a better hook in the first line. The first variation it gave me, I actually don't love. Dive into the heart of cinema with twice independent podcast. I was like, no, this isn't it. The key is in the follow-up. And I just said, make it more compelling by adding a powerful curiosity hook at the beginning. And I actually like the first question it gives. This is the first line. What if the movies you love are shaped by voices you've never heard? That's pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm. And so this is something I think everybody can do, is just throw your description into ChatGPT and just keep shaping it until you get something. It's not going to give you everything perfect, but the idea of it giving you maybe a great first line or a great first hook is one way you can start making some progress on improving your description.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think that this is a great way. I might even, if I'm thinking about this, how to use ChatGPT or any kind of AI tool, I might take a description that I like from another show and say, you know, this is the vibe I'm going for. How could you apply something like this structure to a show about, you know, whatever you have right now? And maybe you put in your existing, you're like, this is my existing description. This is my show. I want it to sound more like this. I want it to start with an open loop and a curiosity gap. I want it to feel like an investigative journalism report. And now see what it spits out and just get it, hit refresh a bunch of times. See, you're just looking for like one line that can open it up, and maybe that's all you need. And maybe it's 80% of the way there, or maybe it's not even, you know, it's 50% of the way there. And you're like, okay, that's actually, it's not usable, but it gives me the inspiration to start with a better hook. And then I'm off and running from there.
Yeah. Like, I would like actually grab this first line and I would almost just take this first line and then rewrite it from there. But now at least I'm not staring at an empty page or an empty description field. I've got that first line, and now I can let that move me forward and go, okay, so like, what's the next bit? What's the next bit? How can I close this loop? And a lot of what ChatGPT gives you will be kind of generic and wordy in the worst possible way, but every once in a while, it'll give you a nice little nugget that you can build on top of. And that's how I would use it.
Yeah. So I think beyond that first line, I think that that's a big part of kind of crafting the description here in a way that hooks people and pulls them in a little bit more. I might also look at including some of the specific conversations that happen on the show. I think that she hints at some of the bigger themes, which is good to have in here, but I think also getting into some of the specifics is also going to be beneficial to help people kind of triangulate what exactly is a episode like. And I think that this is something that, from the cover art, from the title, from the description, from the episode titles, a great show packaging, all of these elements together, allows listeners, or potential listeners in this case, to understand the experience of the show before they ever click play. And I think that's something that is hard to do a lot of times. And a lot of this comes down to your show concept. I think Wendy has a great concept here potentially. I think it could be more clearly articulated with specifics. And I think that that's what we want to get to, is that people are very hesitant to click into something when they don't know what they're going to get. And this happens across you know, websites and all kind of content online. And so I think the more clarity we can bring to, like, this is what the listener experience is going to be. This is what you're going to get. This is how it's going to be delivered. Is it going to be funny? Is it going to be serious? Is it going to be combative? the more kind of clarity we have on all these things, the right people who are actually going to enjoy the show, they've gotten all the checkboxes and they're like, oh, this is the exact type of show that I'm looking for. It sounds just like what I'm interested in. And they're much more likely to click through. And maybe people that aren't, they're not going to, but you know, they weren't going to stick around anyway. So I think bringing clarity, bringing specificity to it so that people can picture or experience it before they've even listened is something to aspire toward.
I think about all of this in terms of shaping. You're shaping the packaging for a particular audience. And in this case, it sounds like Wendy's making this show for people who have traditionally been left out of cinema. So if that's who this is for, it's for people who have felt, you know, we've been left out, we've been excluded from the conversation, then shape all of the packaging so that it draws those people, right? I think the concept is strong. It just needs to permeate more like cover art, show title, and the description, and the episode titles. Like, just get that sense in there as succinctly as you can. And again, this is an exercise that you can do over time. It's okay to just do little tweaks over time and go, okay, today I'm just going to fix my description up a little bit. Today, you know what? I'm going to go through the last five episode titles and just modify them a bit to pull in the audience that I desire.
Yeah. The other thing, like now that we've read the description and I know a little bit more about what the show's about, I'm looking at both the title and the cover art again, and I'm thinking, this makes me even think more of leaning into like the true crime style genre, where it's like there has been some misdeed that has been done. Somebody has been, you know, silenced in some way. And there's some really evocative imagery for those types of shows that I think would be really eye-catching and really speak to this cover-up that's happened. Like, that's almost where my mind goes thematically. And so that's where I start to think, oh, you could get really kind of spicy with the cover art in a really eye-catching way that hints at this mystery. And if you wanted to position the show that way, which sounds really interesting because we know people are interested in true crime and this isn't a true crime show, but to package it in something that appears similar to that could be an interesting way to get people in the door and think, oh, this looks like other shows that I like. And once you click in, you're like, oh, there is an element of this, of like, there's something going on behind the scenes and these tensions between, you know, the powerful and the powerless and existing institutions and all these things. Like, there's a lot going on here that I think could be amplified and really leaned into. So I don't know if that's Wendy's, you know, personal vibe, but that's where my mind starts to go of like, oh, you could do quite a bit with this.
Yeah. I also think one place that ChatGPT is also good is you can give it a website. So I just gave it the Apple Podcasts link and I just said, looking at this website, tell me about what this podcast is about and who it's for. And whatever you have on the page, episode titles, et cetera, description, what's going to come back is like, that's kind of the distilled version of this thing. And I think in this case, I think she would look at it and go, oh, you know what? Like, we could actually really punch this up, really shape the packaging so that it's attracting that audience that I want. So we're talking about the hard-hitting topics that I want to talk about. And so that is evident when a human, or in this case, an AI, is reading the page, it should be able to detect right away that we have a point of view here.
Yeah. So I want to get to the episode titles in a second, but I have a question for you, and I'm going to put you on the spot here based on a couple things that we've circled around already. And so you had mentioned before that from your perspective, the show was maybe aimed at people who haven't traditionally had a voice in the film critic industry. I was initially thinking that maybe the show was meant to address the people who currently have the power and to convince them to change. So I wonder a little bit here, it feels like we are both getting different things from the show. And this is something that I think could be made clearer. And it also, this is going back to that first line of the current description. If you ever watch films or read film reviews, this show is for you. And it makes me think that I think there is a specific audience for this show that has the potential to change things. And so clearly there is a vision for the show to change the way that the film critique industry works right now. And so I would be curious, as Wendy, like, who are the people who have the power to change that? And I think it's probably not just like your average Joe who goes to the movies on the weekends. I don't think that's actually the audience. I think it is somebody who is more culturally like plugged in and maybe has a streak of activism or something like that, or is willing to be an activist in this specific realm. And I think that's actually that specific person or that specific group of people is who she should probably be messaging to, because they're the people who actually care enough about this to actually make change. I think the average person who goes to see the latest Avengers movie on the weekend, they don't care enough about how film criticism works to actually listen to a show that exposes the kind of inequities of the industry. And so I think there are people who care about that. And I think the messaging should speak specifically to them.
Yeah. This is tricky because one of the things about attracting an audience is you have to target people who are already in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that much about the film industry. And so I'm not really in this audience. So my question would be, who is already in motion? If there's a group of people, if there's a group of activists in the film industry that are already in motion, that are looking to have these conversations, and you're trying to get them as they're driving by on the highway, then it makes sense to hold up a sign that says, hey, like, listen to this show. One risk is you could say, well, this is who needs to hear the show.
Yeah.
But they might not be searching for it. And that is actually an almost impossible problem to solve. In my experience, getting people who are not in motion, who don't currently care, who are not looking for content like this, it's very, very difficult to get them to care. And so generally for independent shows, what you're trying to do is to attract people who are already in motion. They're already looking for conversations like this. And in Wendy's case, I would be looking at, here's the general category, who is already doing the work, searching for a show like this. Target the audience who's already searching for something in this area. And I would be using words that can, again, if you visualize them driving down the highway, what would get them to pull off and actually like check out what you've got to offer? That's kind of what you're doing. So yeah. Be careful about, this is not just Wendy's show. This is like, I see this over and over again. People say, well, I'm going to make a show about this. And I go, well, who's looking for a show like that? Well, nobody's looking for a show like that, but they should be listening to it. And it's like, well, you're not going to win that battle. You've got to find the people who are already in motion looking for something like this.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would say is that there are probably, I would almost say like artist advocacy groups or things like that, where there are, it might not be in film, it might be, but it could also be in other areas where a lot of people who are artistic have friends across different mediums. And so I would look at for potential collaborators and things like that. This might not be your audience, but to find those people who are working in other areas of the arts to further artist rights or representation or things like that, there may be fertile ground to start building relationships and connections and show up in those places, build community, integrate yourself there. And I imagine that's where you're going to make a lot of connections that might open doors for the show and getting in front of more people.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, let's move on to episode titles and descriptions. So I just switched over to Spotify. And first thing I see is a trailer episode, which is great. The title I can see is Why We Need to Talk About ... I'm guessing it's Why We Need to Talk About the Film Industry. I like that as a trailer, actually. Like, it's kind of like, why should this exist? The trailer's 7 minutes long. So I can imagine if I'm already in motion looking for a podcast on this topic, and then I land here and it's like, okay, let me see if I'm on board here. I could see myself clicking on that trailer and go, okay, yeah, why do we need to talk about this? Let's hear from her perspective. Where is this kind of leading? So I like that. The episode titles themselves, first is the guest's name, Anna, and then it says unlikable female characters. I would actually switch those if you're going to have a guest, unless the guest is really well known. But I think unlikable female characters is something that grabs me. It's like, oh, wow, what are we going to talk about here? Yep. And then with Anna, you can have them at the end. There's also custom episode art on this episode. So I like to see that. You can start using custom episode art whenever you want. You can just try it on your latest episode. I will say it's a little bit small. I can see there's two faces there. And I think often people are like, they're doing all their podcast work on their computer. And so they're looking at everything on a big screen. And then they forget to go and check and say, like, open it up and go, oh, wait, how does this look when it's 30 pixels by 30 pixels? And generally, simpler is better. Just one or two focuses is better. I only went to the first episode. What are you seeing with episode titles and descriptions?
Yeah, I noticed it looks like there's a new kind of design direction potentially with the custom episode artwork here. It's a little bit interesting to me that the biggest element in this custom artwork is the name of the show, Open to Criticism. And I think to your point, when we're, and so I'm on desktop and it's still really small, I can kind of make out some of the text. I can't even make out all of the text that's currently on the cover art or the custom artwork here. And I can see the two faces of the host, Wendy, and the guest, Anna. But I think that it's important to keep in mind that this is the context when this artwork matters. And so it doesn't matter once somebody clicks in and clicks play on an episode, like then the artwork might be big enough for you to make everything out. But where the artwork actually is doing a job is when they're scrolling through at small size. And that's where it's meant to give them that little bit of extra curiosity to click in. And so that is something that I would think about. And we've talked a lot on other episodes about creating some kind of tension or things like that. It feels like she's got some spicy topics. And so I'm looking through some of the other episodes here. So we've got that first one, unlikable female characters. We've got queering critique. We've got film and criticism beyond the Western gaze, strong female character in quotes and critic identity, critics versus influencers. That one's, I can just picture the custom artwork there. And you got this, like, I don't know, 20-year-old Gen Z and like a 60-year-old, I'm almost thinking like high class, kind of like playing the differences between these two generations of critics. And one's like an academic almost, and the other is like super hip or something like that. That's what I'm picturing there, where it's like it builds this tension around the topic. And so that's how I would think about these things. And I know we've talked about this on almost every episode, but I think given her titles, she could do a lot with this. But there may be, you know, constraints, limitations with design expertise or budget, things like that. But that's where my mind goes looking at some of these things.
Her titles are actually pretty fire. Like, they're pretty good. The only thing I would do is I would switch the guest to the end so that people are reading these really sharp, powerful, punchy titles like right away. Critics versus influencers, the permanent crisis of film criticism, on-screen sex beyond the male gaze. You know, like, these are just very strong, punchy episode titles. I think they're among the best I've actually seen so far. And I would just put the guest name at the end so that you get the power of that title right away as people are scrolling through. Because you got to imagine, people are reading left to right, but they're also scrolling down. So it's like left to right, they might only have a chance to read the first two words. So if you can make the first two words count as they're doing the scroll test, you know, it's like, is there anything here I'm interested in? If they don't recognize the guest's name right away, they're going to skip over that episode and miss critics versus influencers. It's like, oh, okay. And then the guest's name is fine after that.
Yeah. And I think that we don't know this world. And so it's entirely possible that these are all people who are well-known film critics or something like that, where the audience is aware of them. I don't know if that's true or not. If that is the case, then I would keep the guest name up front. But if that's not the case, if the average listener is not aware, and I would actually say if less than 75% of your audience is not aware of that person and that has some, their name has some appeal to them, I would move that to the back and lead with the title instead. And the other thing that I want to note here is that these titles are not very hooky in their copywriting, but it's actually that the idea or the topic of the episode is hooky. And this is something that I think is something we haven't talked about a lot, but deserves to be talked about more, is that it's kind of like the polishing a turd argument here, where you can come up with a great title for an episode, but it's so much easier to do when you start with a great idea for an episode. Most people and most shows should have a much higher bar for the ideas behind each episode and thinking about some unique way to present that topic. And a lot of times that's going to be like, you're going to have this topic and you're going to say, oh, I want to talk about XYZ, whatever it is. And your first idea is like, oh, I'll interview this person about that topic. But then you start to think about, okay, what's another way we could explore this that would be more interesting, more dynamic, have more of a hook to it, more tension? And so this is something that we've been starting throughout the course of this season to experiment with a bit more. And so one of the examples was with the podcast budgeting episode. And so we could have just had a conversation about, oh, here's what the data said about podcast budgets. And maybe it would have been interesting. I would, you know, hope that it would have been. But then we had this idea of like, what if we actually put some constraints on this and made this a little bit of a challenge and said, okay, let's imagine we had $500, $2,500, or $10,000 budgets? How would we use those differently? Mm. And so here's like a layer deeper. There's a different frame around the same topic that makes it a little bit more intriguing to the listener. And now that's really easy to title in a compelling way, not because we are some great title copywriters, but because the idea just, we just said what it is on the tin. And so I think that that's what Wendy's doing here is she's got a really solid big vision behind the show and a point of view. And then it's she's kind of created this frame with the show. And then every topic, we already know how to look at these topics. And we can imagine kind of, again, going back to imagining what the topic will be about because we have the larger vision that she's set in the description, which again, probably could be tightened up a bit. But we just look at like, okay, we're going to talk about how people are, their voices aren't heard in the film industry. And then we look at some of these titles, you know, Film and Criticism Beyond the Western Gaze. And we see others, we've got Navigating the White Space of Film as a Black Critic. And so there's tension in these titles because there's tension in the show and in the ideas. And I think that that's where the episodes themselves are better and they're also easier to title and it's easier to get people in.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that there's an element of the show that's like kind of calling out the big Goliath. Like there's some good energy behind that. Like, hey, let's call out this big industry on these topics.
And I would lean into that more.
So we've been talking about episode artwork a lot, and we kind of critiqued this episode artwork a little bit. And I kind of want to defend Wendy here because I realize this is also doing another job, and it does make it a little bit difficult to know how you're going to create this artwork. Because if we go to metatags.io, this is a website that'll show you what your website or an Apple podcast sharing link or whatever will look like when it's shared on social media, in text messages, etc. So if I paste in this show with this custom episode artwork, we can see on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, this artwork for the episode makes more sense in this context. It's got the title of the show, it's got the face of the host and the guest, and then it's got the topic. I sympathize with this because this is like, I know that this is one place people are sharing episodes is on social media. And so this, unfortunately, episode cover art is doing two jobs and it can't do both jobs well at the same time. I still think you could tighten it up. I think you could remove some elements on the screen, create more tension in the image itself. But I do want to acknowledge this is not easy because this cover art has to do so many jobs in so many different places. And even as we scroll down here, we can see this looks different if it was posted in Slack than it would if it's posted on Pinterest or any of these other platforms. So another place for you to check, you know, your website or even a Spotify sharing link or whatever, what shows up in a tool like this, what shows up in the different platforms when you're sharing it and modifying your approach so that you can do your best at serving all these different needs for the podcast cover art.
Yeah, now I will push back on that to some extent. And I would argue that the image that will do a better job of getting somebody to click through in Spotify will also do the same thing on social media. And so when you share a link on social media, usually there's going to be the title of the episode. And so just like there is in the podcast app, there's going to be that title. So they'll have some context there. And then there will be the image, which will offer you more screen real estate. And so you might say, okay, they already have the title, so I don't actually need to communicate that in the cover art. And so now I can play into that tension here too. And this is something that I've actually seen a lot of people who are newsletter writers and bloggers and posting articles online have started to be really influenced by YouTubers, where their meta images are getting to be more and more YouTube-y, more evocative, less just putting the text, the name of the article on the graphic, and more leaning into offering some new information that the title doesn't convey and opening up a curiosity loop there. So I think you could make the case it will do just as good a job and it will be just as important in social media as in the podcast app.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Going back to the listing, is there anything else that you are seeing on your end that is worth pointing out for Wendy that she might be able to make some improvements here?
I think the only other thing I'll say, and it's a good thing, is consistently these episodes are 35 minutes, 34 minutes. That's a nice length for especially as a new listener. It's just like nice, like, oh, like 37 minutes is a walk for me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's like a little bit of chores around the house. And so Even that's interesting. What the activities I connected my podcast listening to, getting in the shoes of a potential listener and going, okay, like, where are these people listening? And then doing a listener survey to get a sense of where they actually listen is so important, because if people are like, oh, I'm, you know, all your listeners are taking 2-hour walks every day. Well, yeah, have a 2-hour episode. But if your listeners are like, oh, I just listened to it in my commute. Well, the average commute is about 30 minutes. So that's kind of how much time you've got there. Yeah, but I like that these are around 30 minutes, 34 minutes. That's great. No, is there any new episodes? Okay, yesterday is the newest episode. And then before that, March 8th was the newest episode. So it looks like there's some gaps, like she produced the show up until May 25th of last year and then just started doing it again. Personally, as long as I'm seeing one or two recent episodes, I'm more likely to listen. So,
yeah. And I can actually see that in the last week's episode, so the March 8th episode, it's at the very end. It says season 2 trailer. So clearly this is a seasonal show that's now picking up for the next season. I would almost maybe move that to the front. And I might say season 2 trailer, colon, and then list what's coming there so that people are just like aware of what this is and it sets their expectations going into this episode. So that is something that, and I think it actually, to your point, somebody coming into the show for a first time might be looking for the published frequency. And if they see very quickly, like, oh, this is a seasonal show, it contextualizes it for them. And they're like, okay, the new season's starting up. Great. I'm excited to get in. And even if somebody comes across the show 6 months from now after the season wraps up, they can kind of scroll back through and understand, oh, this is a seasonal show. They release like one season a year or maybe two seasons a year, something like that. And it gives them the kind of context that they need to understand how to approach it.
Yeah. And I missed that episode was a trailer because it said season 2 trailer at the very end. And the other thing that some people will do is they will have a distinct visual style for the episode artwork for each season. Mm-hmm. And in her case, the season 2 trailer still has the old style of cover art. So that's a really easy tweak, is just make it match the cover art you're going to have moving forward. And then people get the sense of like, oh, here's one block, one season, and then here's another season.
Yeah. The one last thing that I'm noticing here is in the episode descriptions. And so in the most recent one, the description is, I'm back for a new season of my 2-time award-nominated podcast, kicking off in fine style with critic, author, podcaster, author, and film programmer, Anna Bogutskaya. And so then she gets into Anna's fascinating book, Unlikable Female Characters, interrogates the 9 key tropes. Really what I want to hear about is the 9 key tropes. And so again, it's very much like the description. At the start of this episode description, I would want to hear something like, have you ever noticed how female characters tend to be portrayed in 1 of 9 ways? This. And that could all fit into this description, where now I'm like, ooh, this, it's about the topic and the idea rather than the guest. And that's what's pulling in a listener if they're not aware of the guest, which in many cases is basically everyone. And so I would cut to the core of the idea and hint at what's interesting about it as soon as possible in the first sentence. And then if people click in, then you can talk more about the guest and maybe even about like the show being back and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I'm not sure a lot of this is about your own personal sense of taste and what you want to accomplish with the show. But I will say one opportunity, it's just an idea, you don't have to do it, is if you're talking, for example, about unlikable female characters, and let's say that in Anna's book, she talks about Cruella de Vil and, you know, a bunch of just unlikable characters, you could use some of that imagery in your cover art. And then there's this recognition. People are like, yes, oh, they're going to talk about that character and that character and that character. It's like, okay, I'm kind of interested in this now because you've given me something I can connect with. And, you know, I'm thinking about this now. I make the same mistake. If you look at my podcast, and you look at the cover art, I'm just putting the guest's photo and my photo on there. And I'm realizing as I'm saying this, in most cases, I don't think people care. What they want is some way to connect with this is what this show is about. And to do that, you have to give them something they're familiar with, right? Some sort of imagery or character or feeling, emotion that they are like, oh, okay, I get what this is about. But just two static faces of, you know, my Twitter profile pic and their Twitter profile pic, it doesn't really give you much other than these two people are on the show. And so there's an opportunity, even for my, I'm talking to myself here in my show, to modify those thumbnails, that episode cover art, so that it kind of evokes more. So we give a potential listener something to grab onto that's like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to listen to this. You know, there's some sort of connection, whether you're connecting with nostalgia, emotion, whatever it is, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah. So everybody feel free to go leave comments on Justin's show and roast it. Let him know that what he could be doing better with his episode artwork after this. I'm sure he would appreciate that, even though he says he's gotten the idea here now, but I think it could use some reinforcement potentially. So we've been roasting shows all season here. Probably we are due for one of our own. But yeah, I really like that. And I think the idea here, and you know, this is a very specific case where there's a book about unlikable female characters, but that actually opens up this idea that this whole show is about film, which means there are visual elements that I'm not quite sure what the legalities are of how you can use imagery around that. I would assume you could, because especially because it's a show about critique and things like that. And so she's got a rich kind of catalog of imagery and visuals that she could pull on to offer some visual hooks to the things that are going to be, and like allusions to what's going to be discussed in the episode, which I think that again, it gives people more of this kind of coherence of like what the episode is going to be about through some of that visual kind of shorthand that gets put into the custom artwork. So I love that idea.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is, I mean, she's got a lot of great stuff here. And I think that the premise seems interesting. I love that she has a very distinct and fiery point of view that the show is built on. The episode titles are great. I think the episode topics are great. And really, this feels like an instance of really the packaging is maybe one of the things that could be improved that would open up a lot more opportunities. And that's not to say that it's bad, but I think there are opportunities to be able to tighten it up further and really help potential listeners really understand what makes this show special before they even start to click in and listen. So yeah, I think lots of great stuff from Wendy. Any kind of final notes that you would pass on to her?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's lots of potential for this show. I get excited when I kind of stumble on a show that has a really kind of strong point of view or concept. And then it's just like, oh, wow, like all we need to do is fix these road signs so that people can get to the show. And that's kind of how I felt with this one. So yeah, I hope this was helpful for her and for everyone else listening. Just more ideas that we haven't really talked about yet that came out of this one that I think are just more places for people to turn that lever or just get those signs pointing in the right direction so that people can find your show and click through and actually give it a shot.
Yeah. So for anybody listening, if you would like to submit your show to be roasted in a future episode, you can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave our show, Podcast Marketing Trends Explained, a review, and be sure to include the name of your show and we will submit it to the hat and potentially pull it out to be roasted in a future episode.